I think maybe some of you realize just what a privilege it is for me to be here, because I've had such a yearning and longing to come back to Macon, Georgia, and talk with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, some of my are my spiritual children. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. It's a real privilege to have Brother Red here tonight from down, I never can remember that place, but I know it's down south somewhere. And Brother Red's got a campground there. And we're certainly glad to have him here. It's a real privilege to have him here. He's a wonderful man of God. He's a man of renown that's preached all over the nation. We also have Brother Elrod here, which is a man of God, and Brother Gantrell. These are precious people. Others here that I'm sure that maybe I have never met, and maybe you know them. But I just thank God tonight for him. Brother Clyde back here. I'm not sure, but I believe that Clyde has gone into the ministry since I last seen him. Is that correct, Clyde? I've heard that you're doing some ministry, so I don't know just what the strength of it is, but I see he and his wife here tonight, and some of the others that are here, and some that was here last night, I see they're not here tonight. Some sent word that they couldn't be here, they had to work, and some that were here the first night came especially to be with us, and then they couldn't get back. They said they would try to get back, but I see that some of them did not make it back. But we're thankful for those that have come out to be with us. Amen. Now, I saw a vision last night. I asked the Lord before I turned in last night. I said, Lord, I said, I wish you'd speak to me with a vision tonight. Every once in a while, I'll ask him to give me a vision. And he gave me a vision, and in the vision, he showed me, Brother Cantrell, that the devil was going to hit you with all he had. I saw you very plainly, and he drawed back with all that he had and hit you while you was trying to do good. And he shook you until everything looked like everything would crumble in on top of you. But when it looked like the last part would go down, you took courage and stood, and still it stood up. And you know that's what it's going to take. It's going to take faith in God. It's going to take taking courage and coming back against Satan. If we intend to make it, that's the way we're going to have to do it. So I thank the Lord tonight. It's just such a wonderful privilege to be here tonight and feel the glory of God. I was thinking tonight, they sang that song, God's Chief Cornerstone. Not too long ago, we had a meeting. Somebody had scheduled a meeting for us. It's been strange, but I've not scheduled meetings. It looked like God always has somebody to schedule meetings. They open up, and I just go there. I don't know why it's like that. My heart yearns a lot of times, you know, to go out like the others and schedule meetings, but somehow I'm never led or impressed that way. And so then I quietly wait for God to do it. And then as the Lord does it, well, I just move on in. We're glad to see these other folks coming in. It's always a privilege to have others coming to be with us. So just come right on in. I mentioned last night about being over into the islands and what a great, wonderful time we had. As a matter of fact, over in Grand Cayman, that is predominantly the black man in that area. And they said we had the greatest revival they'd ever had in Grand Cayman Island. I remember we wasn't at a great big place there, nice building, but I remember that night I was going to preach on how that they had to tear the ceiling out to let the men down to Jesus, you know, the man that was in need. And that night, or that day, I didn't know that they were having to tear the side of the building out to get the people to where they could hear the message, but they were. So Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. But this meeting they had scheduled off the Holiday Inn, and they were having a dinner or supper there. And I preached for the Full Gospel Businessmen in the past out in California, and we've been in our meetings, and we never had too many of those things ourselves, you know, for our own. But they had this one scheduled. We had a full house there at the Holiday Inn, and they had made a capstone out of what I don't remember. But anyway, it was a beautiful white capstone, and when I got in there, they had this attached to it right here. It's called the Capstone Message. And I had not even noticed it. I didn't know that they had put it in this Bible, or that I had put it in, or ever had got in here. I didn't know. But I hadn't even noticed it until tonight. But being here in Macon is very typical of something that God's doing. I made mention of that last night. It's a very outstanding thing. And tonight I discovered that that was in my Bible. And I know that God had a reason for that. And also there was another thing that, out of all the years, you know, I'm so old, and I won't tell you how old. I know Stella, she said she was getting old, and I thought, yeah, you are a little over 20. So.
But anyway, I'm going to pass that. Out of all the years, I've never known what my birthstone was. Some of them had mentioned it to me, but somehow they never registered. But I'd always wondered just what my birthstone was. You know, you have a flower, and then you have a birthstone. And I wondered what my birthstone was, and I never discovered it. Until the other day, just a day or two ago, I happened to pick up a little old thing off of a calendar that Sister Betty had, and I noticed on there that it had the birthstone and the flower, you know, of the month. So I checked into it, and I found out that mine was an amethyst, and that a violet was my flower. I thought, well, that's wonderful. I always wanted to know what it was, and little things like that mean a lot to me. So I thought, well, that's wonderful. But I never realized that God was trying to tell me something at that time, like he always does. The Bible said the steps of the righteous men are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight, he brought it back to me about showing me about my birthstone. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. I mean, you know, you're glad to learn little things like that.
Amen.
The Lord began to speak to me and show me that it was more than that. That God was trying to tell me something. And I began to say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And he said, son, don't you know that this is the meeting that has to do when the angel of God appeared to you in Hialeah, Florida, when Christ, the Lord himself, came and put the ring on your finger, walked into your room and put the ring on your finger and spoke to you, saying that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And how that I've been with you all these years. And don't you remember how the angel of God appeared there and you saw him? And don't you remember what the Lord said to you? And you realize that these meetings that we're having right now that's going down to Florida, that you yourself predicted and said that this would come to pass about this time. And now you don't even see it. And I thought, my, how blind could anybody be? And then all of a sudden I realized that the Lord was saying to me that this is your birthstone because the Lord had spoken to me when he come. And the question that he asked was, he said, where is the stone of thy birth? That's what he asked. When the angel of the Lord came to me in Florida, he said, where is the stone of thy birth? Strangely enough, I never knew what it was until I said that this meeting had to do with it. And all of a sudden I discovered the stone of my birth. Isn't that wonderful? I don't think some of you understand what I'm saying. But I thank God tonight because this has to do with the change of the new. How many believe that God uses the foolish and the base things to confound the wise? Just like this when he brought in this little cup that said the new way here tonight. God chooses little things that the wise would never notice. This is God's new business. I spoke of it last night. Being here in Macon, Georgia, it denotes the change of the old. That as Brother William Branham had to do with that, now we're going into something new. I want to read just a verse here. I read it last night, but I only exalted a little bit and I didn't get a chance to go into this scripturally. May not get to tonight, but I'd like to read. Can I have a swallow of that water from the new way? Turn over to the book of St. Luke. Now, you'll have to overlook me because I believe in foolish things. I'm a fool for Christ. All right. Reading from the book of St. Luke. I read this last night, but I'll recall to you, remember again. The strange part about this little thing that said capstone message in this Bible, the strange part about it was that this is the first time that I have ever used this Bible, aside from one time, I believe, right after it was given to me, and that had a special significance. And then I closed the Bible up, and it wasn't used until we started the series of these meetings. Now, it is a beautiful Bible. Brother Jim gave it to me. You know, the name Kirk means church in German, and this has to do with the church. Now, reading over in the book of St. Luke, in the 24th chapter, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, I'd like for you to pay close attention tonight, if you will. There's something that I'd like to point out. And if you pay close attention to the things that I tell you, you'll go home tonight having understood better than when you came. I want you to give me just a few minutes tonight, and I'll try not to hold you a long time. I just want to say a few things to you and see if I can share with you what I understand in the Lord. Now, I want to say again that this is a great memorial event. Here we are in a little rundown building, a little shanty, you might say, over here on the poor side of town, or it used to be. And I felt like that this meeting would be over here. And I rejoiced when I saw this little rundown building and realized that it was where I felt it would be and did have to do with what I understood God was doing. And so then, here we are in this little rundown building. I thank God for this. I think maybe the rest of the buildings that we're going to be in are pretty nice buildings. But I thank God that here in Macon, Georgia, here is this little rundown building. And here we are over here, and here we are with some of our friends that has, potentially speaking, been dead, as far as we're concerned. They've been dead. We've not seen them in a long time. And here, a few of them are here tonight for us to fellowship. And, of course, there's a lot of them that's passed on since that time. I understand that Brother Clyde's dad and mother has passed on. I saw a vision not too long ago. I looked, and I saw a vision. And the vision, I looked, and there was a graveyard. When I saw the graveyard, I looked. It was like a corn stalk came up. And then it was like the corn was gone and there was cobs. And I thought, well, Lord, what a strange vision. I'll never understand this. And then all of a sudden, as God began to speak to me, the Lord said, the cobs, there'll be a death in the Cobb family. And then I began to understand what the Lord was trying to tell me. You know, it's strange how God chooses the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. Like Daniel. Daniel would see lions and tigers, you know. He'd go to bed and he'd have a night vision. Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. And I'm reminded again of how the Spirit of God came down and Elisha walked watching Elijah. All of a sudden out of heaven there came the Holy Spirit. And he swept down in the mist. He parted them asunder. And there went Elijah off to be with God. Amen. It's the same thing when Jesus comes. Here is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And they're all walking along together. And all of a sudden, as it was said to the prophets back there, the sons of the prophets kept saying to Elisha, said, know ye not that God shall take away your head? He said, we know it. We know it. We understand it. And so it was Jesus, the head of the church, all walking along together, but not aware of the fact, that is, some of them were not aware, that God was going to take the head of the church away. There was the head of the Jews. The head of the Jewish church, that Jesus was King of the Jews, but it was ordained that God should take him away. When I think about that, I think about another man with the name of William Branham that came into this world with the spirit of Elijah upon him for the latter times and for this age. And though he did many mighty great things, and though he did expound the word of God such as no man of our age had ever done, yet there came the move of the Spirit, and God reached down and took away the head that was leading the great body of the church. Amen. Just swept him up, Brother Red, picked him up and took him away.
Amen.
The great man of God was taken away. But you know, there's one thing about it. God has never forsaken his people. There has never been an age, there's never been a time when God has ever left his people. I thought about this great memorial event that we have here tonight in this little building. What God is doing, what God is trying to tell us. If Jesus was here tonight speaking to you, he'd stand here. Perhaps he wouldn't raise his voice as much as I'm raising mine. A lot of times, instead of standing up and preaching like this, the Lord Jesus might just pull up a chair, or might sit down in a boat, or go out on the hillside and sit down and call the people to him. And they'd sit down and he'd just have conversation with them. And the Bible said he would open their understanding. We have a right to raise our voice. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people the sins. And we do that.
Amen.
But I was just thinking, the Lord Jesus, standing here tonight, coming to be with us tonight, in you and in me tonight, in that we're the temples of God, the Lord gathering together the members of his body, in this little humble place here tonight. What does it have to do with? Tonight has to do with the end of the church world and the beginning of the awakening of the Jewish people of God. It has to do with the awakening of the true body of Christ that's gone to sleep on God. That's what this meeting has to do with. Ever since Brother Branham's been gone, the light's been going out and people have been going to sleep. Until a period of about 9 years have gone. And we watched as 7 years pass by. And during that 7 years we knew that God was doing something, and that at the end of that 7 years that God would begin to move again. And so then the lights went out. And everybody, they began to sell handkerchiefs and holy water. And on the radio, you could get almost anything you wanted. That's right, they sold it and said it was God. But the light was gradually going out. And they knew they couldn't keep the people's attention. They knew that the people would not follow them because the light had gone out. And so it was, the people began to make merchandise of the house of God.
Amen.
That's the same thing that they read, that Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers for when he came. He went into the temples of the those that sold and bought, and the Bible said he overturned the money tables and he drove them out with a whip.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is good, but God is the God of judgment.
Amen.
A lot of people would say, well, Jesus just got temperamental. He didn't get temperamental. Well, there's one thing I can say, that was premeditated. A lot of people said it was just on the spur of the moment. That wasn't on the spur of the moment. Jesus sat outside of the temple and planted that whip and made ready to go in there and do exactly what he did.
Amen.
He knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't upset. That was a premeditated thing. He knew what he was doing. And I believe today, if Jesus came, he'd do the very same thing. While Moses was away on the mountain getting the revelation of the Lord, for his day, Aaron and the rest of them was down there in the valley, and they were making themselves a golden calf and having a good time, shouting and jumping and going on. And when Moses came down to find out what was going on, he said, what kind of shout is this? And somebody would say, well, it's a shout of victory. But Moses said, it don't sound to me like they've got the victory over there. It sounds to me more like the shout on the offering they're taking up. Don't sound to me like they got a revelation.
Amen.
So then he came down and he got upset because he found out they were shouting over the offering.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of people that swept through the land, and they've taken houses, and they've taken land, and they've taken everything that the people of God's got. But they've not given them anything in return.
Amen.
But you know, when Moses got down there, the people realized that Aaron and those people had deceived them. They became very angry. And the Bible said that Moses ground it up, put it in the waters, and the waters was bitter. And the people had to drink it.
Amen.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. God likens people to waters, and God's going to grind this thing up and put it in the waters, and the waters is going to get bitter at these people that have swept through and took everything they had. So that when the real thing comes, they'll have nothing to offer.
Amen.
God works like that.
Right.
Working all things after the counsel of his own will. Jesus said, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, the cattle of 1,000 hills is mine. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me.
Right.
God is like that. He wanted the other to be that way.
Amen.
Because when the real thing comes, it can't be bought with money anyway.
Right.
The real thing of God has never been able to purchase it with money.
Amen.
And I thought about this thing happening here in Macon, Georgia. Here we are in Macon, Georgia, a little place that's unnoticed. And yet I made the statement that Macon, Georgia had to do with Jerusalem. And I said last night that when they checked the boundary line, they found that it ran straight from Jerusalem right through Macon, Georgia, which has to do with the national boundary of life. Inasmuch as when you go to Jerusalem, that's like going to the end of the world. But even though God forsook Jerusalem, it's like the song that we wrote that the girls sang here tonight. Israel, O Israel, God's lovely, lovely aid. Now's come the time of reaping, he said. I'll gather thee in and I'll set thee up on high. God is fixing together Israel and make Israel the head of the nations. That means that if God is turning to Israel to make Israel the head of the nations, then God is also turning to the true church, the true body of Jesus Christ, and God's going to bring them out of the graves. For he said, Israel, I'll bring thee out of thy graves, that ye shall know that I'm the Lord. And he's going to bring them out of these old bodily cocoons here. Like the butterfly, when he breaks forth, he might be a worm while he's there. But if he'll just wait till the veil's rent and he comes out in the lovely beauty of the presence of God, he's such a glorious creature. I know that the Lord referred to Jacob as being a worm. I'll tell you what, when these old cocoons are broken in the resurrection of the sonship of God comes in and the world begins to see our beauty, then they'll understand that God has brought us out. That we are sons and daughters of God, and that we are different from the rest of the world.
Amen.
What a wonderful thought. Here we are tonight, a little group of people, in this place that is symbolic or typical of Jerusalem. And what's taking place? I showed those tracts last night. I have the tracts here that Brother Antley had printed. I showed you how that they had to do with the rapture of the church. How that we preach the thunders according to something that we'd understood of God. And how that this Jewish flag came in at a certain time. How that these lights penetrated the flag. How that they showed up through this on the very cover that we were intending to send to, or are intending to send to the Israeli people. The very same thing. And by the way, this also means a great move for the black man too. Now, a lot of you that don't understand spiritual things wouldn't know what I was talking about when I say a move for the black man. But it indicates a great move for the black man in this hour as well as the church, because of the typical type that he is.
Amen.
In this third dimensional move of God. But here we stand tonight, and a great thing is taking place. Spiritual history is being made here tonight. Now we stand here tonight speaking of the closing out of the church ages. And Brother William Branham went out. I was down in Hialeah, Florida. I spoke in the early part of 65 of the death of William Branham. I saw two caskets. I saw a white one, and I saw a black one. And I knew that the white one was Brother Branham, but I didn't understand the black one. And it wasn't until later that I came to believe that the black casket that I saw was Martin Luther King, which I learned later was a great predominant figure in the move of Revelation. And so then, as I spoke to Brother J.T. Parnell concerning the move of God and the death of Brother Branham, the Lord speaking to me immediately after that I saw his death, I moved just a few blocks around the corner. I crossed over from Hialeah into Miami. And just barely over the borderline. And then when I did, I was very tired, and I didn't understand what was happening. I'd been working for God feverishly on the field. It looked like that I was pressed out of measure. And then all of a sudden, God began to deal with me. I became very weary, very tired. And I got up from the living room, and I walked into my bedroom, and I lay down on the bed. When I lay down on the bed, all of a sudden, it was like all of my heartstrings came loose. Everything seemed to explode in my head. I became as a dead man as I lay there. I couldn't even move a muscle. I just lay there. And everything went dark, very black. And all of a sudden, though I knew that I was in the room, though I knew that I was laying on the bed, though I understood everything that was taking place, yet I couldn't comprehend what God was doing. All of a sudden here, I felt the presence of the Lord himself. I couldn't see him. I didn't see him, but I knew he was there. I felt his presence. And there the Lord Jesus Christ walked into the room. Then he walked over to where I was, and I was laying there, and he spoke to me. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I just lay him there, and all I could do was just mumble. And he said to me, he said, "Where is the stone of thy burial?" And I said, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." That's all I could say. I couldn't move. And finally, the Lord spoke to me very gently. He had picked up this hand and asked me the question. And then tenderly, as a mother of kindness, he laid it down. He said, "I shall get thee one." And he turned. I felt his presence go back out of the room. I still couldn't see him, though I heard his voice. He turned. He went back out of the room. And then he returned again. And then when he returned again, he picked this hand up and he slipped a ring on this finger. Now you can't see it, but it's there. He slipped a ring on that finger. And he said to me, he said, "I shall never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need."
Hallelujah.
I said, "You don't know what that did to me."
Oh.
About that time, the room lit up like you turned on 1,000 electric lights. The room lit up brightly, and instead of laying down on the bed and my head facing this direction, I was standing up, not lying down in the darkness, but I was standing up and looking in this direction. And as I looked in this direction, everything was brilliantly lit up, and I looked, and there stood the angel of God over in front of me. And he was much taller than I am. I suppose the reason that God does that is because the Bible says that man is made a little lower than the angels. And God knows that we observe things by sight, so he let me see him as a large being, you know, to let me know that he was an angelic being, that he was higher, more elevated in the Spirit of God than I was. That, you know that. And I stood and I looked at him, and he looked down at me. As he looked down, he was a great big man. He looked to me like he weighed a couple hundred pounds or more. And he stood there, but he was very gracefully built. And he stood there with a long flowing garment all the way down to his ankles. And by the way, that's the reason that I believe in the long dresses. And I'm not telling you what you've got to do, but I believe it. I believe in him because the Bible said when the Lord Jesus came and stood on the Isle of Patmos, the Bible said that he was covered with a garment all the way down to his feet. I've often thought if the Lord Jesus is our example, we ought to follow in his steps. I'd hate to stand before God in any other way.
Amen.
I mean, I'd certainly hate to do it as a man, and I know I'd hate to do it as a lady. But anyway, here I stood, and I looked at the angel. And the angel of God had something in his hands. I did not know what it was. This was shortly after I'd seen the death by Brother Brown. Here, the angel of God dropped whatever he had, and it was as it was though a piece of paper. And it just did, I remember doing like this as it went down toward the earth or the ground, the room, wherever I stand, I couldn't tell. I just knew that I was on my feet, I was looking in the other direction, and the room was full of light. Whereas previous to this time, I had been lying on the bed in another direction and everything was dark. And so then I looked at him, and he looked very pleasant. The thing went down to the floor, I reached down, I picked it up. As I picked it up, I handed it to him, and he looked like he was very pleased with what I'd done. And then with that, everything just changed and went away. I come out of it, I was really troubled. I thought, Lord, what in the world could this mean? What is it? What does this mean? And for a number of years, I never understood. Though some things took place, if I'd known the Lord a little better at that time, I would have understood better. But for a number of years, I never understood. And then God spoke to me one day. And he said, son, I want to show you what the vision means. And he waited until the number of years had passed, and at the very time that the thing was to break forth and I was to go into what God intended for the church to have, he unveiled it and showed it to me. And remember, it reminded me of what he said to Daniel. He said, Daniel, said, seal it up. It's not for your time, Daniel, but seal it up. Daniel said, I tried to understand, but I couldn't understand. David said, I tried to understand, but said it was too high for me, and said I couldn't do it. But he said, seal it up, Daniel. There'll come a day when you can understand it. For it's for the latter time or the end time. And here comes John along about 96 A.D. Here comes John on the Isle of Patmos, wrote the book of Revelation. And the very same visions that Daniel had saw, here John saw them, and God made him to understand what they were.
Amen.
Seal it up until the end time, the latter time. Then you understand.
Right.
So then just about the time for the move that I understood, God unveiled it. And here's what he spoke to me. The Lord said, when you was lying down this way, looking in this direction, he said, you were as a dead man lying in the darkness. I thought, that's true. He said, but I came unto you, and I gave you a stone for your birth. He said, that's the way the church is. Said, the church is dead. It's in darkness. How do you know God reckons time from evening till morning? Ever since Adam fell from the light of the garden and started into the darkness, God has called it night, and said that we shine as lights in the midst of a crooked generation. Is that right?
As
a light, we shine in this dark age. Is that right?
Amen.
Paul turned my people from darkness to light. Is that right?
Amen.
That means that there is a veil of carnality, of beast intelligence, that was inherited from the fall through Eve at the garden, and we have been under that spell or gloom ever since the fall in the garden. Is that right?
Amen.
Being in darkness, cut off from God, a shadow, a cloud hanging over us, a darkness hanging over us. And Paul said that this cloud, that this darkness is over the minds of the people even until this very day. But this veil, this mind, this cloud, this doubt, this gloom, this veil of darkness, he said, a glass darkly, that we look through, typically speaking, through types and shadows, allegories and these kind of things. He said that this is done away with in Christ. When you get into the mind of the Lord, it becomes revelated and you can understand clearly what God's doing.
Amen.
So then, I said, Lord, what does it mean? And God said, you were in darkness. Dead, out of the presence of God. You could not see the Lord. having the eyes of your understanding darkened. You couldn't see the Lord. He said, but I came unto you while you was in that state of sleep, fell from the presence of God, in death until God comes to you, dead in trespasses and sin. But he said, when I came to you, I came to you in the darkness. I came to you while you were yet in your sins. I died for you. I came to you in the darkness of your carnal mind when you couldn't see. He said, and I gave you a stone of birth. I caused you to be born again. And said, the very minute that you was born again, you moved into the world of life. And there you was, alive, standing up on your feet. Oh, my God. There I was, just as quick as he said that and slipped that ring on. All of the darkness went away. And there I stood in the world of life. For the Bible said that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Tonight, I'm in the kingdom of God. Now, you say, where are you, Brother Pike? I am in the kingdom of God. Somebody would say, well, I hope I can make it. And I've said so many times, I hope you can too. I made it. I hope you can make it too. I am in the kingdom of God. God hath not going to day after tomorrow, but God hath already, Brother Red, translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. Here I stand tonight in the kingdom of God. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached, and men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. Ever since that day, the kingdom of God has suffered violence at the hand of men, and that violence has moved in by an intellectual power and a money force, and has taken away the kingdom of God from the children of Israel, just as it was in the days of Eli, when the light has gone out, everything vanished away, and those evil powers, the alien, the Philistine, moved in and took the Ark of the Covenant and began to worship it and do it like they wanted to. Today you've got Baptists, you've got Methodists, you've got Presbyterian, you've got Pentecostal, you've got everything else that has taken a hold to the covenant and taken it away from the children of God for one reason, and that is because they have let the light of God go out in the temple.
Amen.
So then, they took it. And in that day, you remember, they tried to worship, but it worked in reverse. Is that right? All of the plagues began to move in on him. One said, I got cancer. Another said, I got TB. Another said, I got heart trouble. I don't know what's causing all of this. And then along came the prophet of God. Then along came the man of God that had the answer. And he told them what they needed to do was to get rid of the covenant and put it back to where it belonged. You can't worship this covenant with a PhD. The Bible said that men wrote this as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Have to have a Holy Ghost interpreter here to be able to understand this thing. It has to be revelation. You can't make an intellectual indoctrination of formality and ritualistic practices. You can't do that. And so then today they begin to realize that they're sick, that everything is going wrong, and they're trying to get it back to the Pentecostals. They're saying, we'd rather go to the ball game. We'd rather go to the ice skating. We'd rather go to the frolics. We'd rather do what we want to do. You just take this thing and be on your way with it. And ain't you glad? I said, ain't you glad? I'm so glad. I know when it came back down there in the fields, I remember how that when it finally got that back down there in the fields, some of them run out, you know, and said, we've got to help this thing. Looks like it's a little bit shaky, so we'd better see if we can't figure out some little way to help it on the side, you know. We're going to keep it from falling. Got to kind of substantiate the goings of God. He's kind of old and feeble, you know, and he can't help himself anymore. What we better do is see if we can't work out a little something here to where we help him a little bit. Is that right? But about that time, the anger of God was kindled because he knew that was an act of unbelief, and to think that God was not able to take care of himself, that God had got feeble and couldn't take care of himself, and angered God at their unbelief, and the Spirit of God came down, and the Bible said God began to smite the people.
Amen.
Is that right? Get your hands off the Ark of the Covenant. Even David got pouty about it.
Right.
David got upset over there and said, I ain't gonna mess with you. I'm upset, Lord. Here you are. You're killing these folks about the Ark of the Covenant. I won't mess with them myself. But God didn't make no allowance for David either, did he? He just waited until David got over his pouting spell and got ready to take the Ark of the Covenant. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. And so then they're about ready to give it back to the people of God. And I'm thankful tonight that this little place here that we're in tonight has to do with it. That's right. I asked, I said, Lord, what does this mean? And God reminded me that in the days of William Branham, when William Branham came on the scene, that God was doing a special thing. That at that very time that he came on the scene, that God had numbered him with the denominational world of that which we call Baptist, that which we call Pentecostal, that which we call Trinity. God had numbered him with it. And there he had his Jesus come up in the midst of that darkness out there. There was Jesus veiled in a temple called William Branham, walking in the veil of Trinitarian people, them not knowing, having come down through the mother of harlots, ever since it went into the veil, when they killed it out at Pentecost, and it went into that dark Trinitarian veil, where that intellectual mind tried to reason out religion, ever since that time it had been cut off from God. But here it comes all the way down. Here over the end time, we see it coming back up, springing back up through Martin Luther. I've made the statement, Martin Luther, he brought us justification by faith. And then come Wesley, he brought us sanctification. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But then comes the message of today that brings us glorification. Amen. For by justification, by sanctification, but the Bible says God has glorified us. Already, Amen. God has glorified us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then, to believe in justification is good. To believe in sanctification is good. But brother, what we need to do is believe in glorification.
Amen.
That's what we need to believe in.
Amen.
And the last move of God was to be the glorification, because justification has to do with your spirit. And sanctification has to do with your soul. But glorification has to do with the redemption of the body. That's where the Jews are coming. Also the casting away of the Jews, be the reconciling of the world. What will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? He knew that at Calvary, when those Jews were rejected, it signified God killing out our body. And the body of the church, because of sin, couldn't be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But being spiritual Jews, typifying the inner man, God knew that he could translate the inner man into the kingdom of God, preserving until after the church ages, and then bring the Jews back in, being typical of the resurrection of the body, which was rejected because of the sin of Calvary, and then fit the spiritual Jew together with the natural Jew, bringing the glorification and the redemption of the body. And that's why Paul spoke that way. He had the revelation. He knew that that's what the Jews were the type of. He understood that. And so then he said, bringing them back in will be the redemption of the body. I want you to see this tonight. Now, we preach about those things back there, and we talk about what they've done back there, but what does it have to do with us? The Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established in the present-day truth. There is something presently going on. I can look back there and interpret the life of Elijah because the Spirit of God was back there. I could look over there and interpret the life of Brother Branham because the Spirit of God was there. But what about today? What about now? What about you? What about me?
Amen.
Where is the Spirit of God now? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Red, he'll tell us what's going on today.
Amen.
He'll tell us what's going on today. Here we stand in a little place called Macon, Georgia. What are we doing here? The lights to the church age. I just spoke on it. The lights are going out. Brother Brown closed the church ages out. Now there's that little spell in between those church ages. And over here in the coming of the millennium, that little period of bad government, that tribulation thing that we spoke of was about to come upon us. And then when they saw these stars and saw that the days of tribulation was upon us, when they said there's 7 years regime of Satan at hand, you might have read in the paper. All of a sudden, at this time, there was a day star that was to come forth. That day star is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the church that's got to come out. The church has been dead. Everybody asleep at the midnight hour. But when the bridegroom come, everybody didn't stay asleep. There were some that had went to sleep with the all. Some of them had the all of God. And at the midnight cry, when it said, behold, the bridegroom himself cometh, they began to shake themselves, and it had come out. The Bible said gross darkness would cover the people. And I said, what is that, Brother Pike? It means the intellectual reasoning of intellectual powers and governments of this earth will sweep over the people. Is that right? It means that all of the powers of the intellectual mind, which is the beast that come out of the garden, will envelop the people, and the people will give way to it. And the Bible says that all of them wondered after the beast. Is that right?
Amen.
What is the beast? You, the Bible says, the brute beast. They that are not Christ-like.
Amen.
They that are out in the world. Jews, the writer said, these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Jesus said they're a generation of vipers. Is that right?
Amen.
That stems down from the garden. Is that right?
Right.
What is all the world wondered after the beast? Is that right?
Amen.
What was the beast? The flesh. All of them wandered after the flesh. All of them got the liking, the lipstick, and the paint, and the powder, and the cigarettes, and the frolics, and the drink, and the automobiles, the house, and the land. Everything's in the world. They got the liking that. All of them went after the beast, the Bible said.
Amen.
All of them went after it. Every one of them went after it. Why? It was dark in this one. The membership of his body, evil, working in darkness because they love darkness rather than light. They're children of darkness. Working in the carnal mind because their deeds are evil. Neither will they come to the light, that their deeds might be reproved and might be made manifest, that they might come into the light of God. I made the statement in the past that if we are buried with Christ in baptism, and it's not us that live, and this is the temple of God, and Peter said this is the tabernacle, as long as I'm in it, if this is the tabernacle of God, then the name of this tabernacle is Jesus. Jesus. They blasphemed the name of the tabernacle. And John said that it was among men. So that the tabernacle of God is among men. Whose tabernacle we are. Temple of God ye are. And God walks in you, talks in you. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle.
Amen.
So that his tabernacle is among men, John said. But the beast blasphemed. For do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the mercy seat and blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called? Always charging with debts and bills and everything else. Always. I used to wonder what the robber was when he said he found the man laying over the ditch. They robbed him, took all he had and left him. I thought, God, who could that be? And one day I learned it was a rich man. One day I learned it was the beast, that beast out yonder that'll pull you into the hospitals and pull you into everything else. Take every dollar you've got, every dime for taxes and everything else. And then when they rob you, leave you laying over in the ditch. And who comes by and gets you? The Good Samaritan.
Amen.
He's not looking for money. We tell you about the glad tidings of great joy. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then, here we are tonight, standing here in a humble little building, a place that I believe is typical of the city of Jerusalem. Here we are. I made the statement the other night. Everybody seemed to die in Macon, Georgia. I'll tell you what, if you want to find out about the worst place in the nation, ask the evangelists, and they'll tell you it's Macon, Georgia. That's right. I said the other night that even when they had the tapes to come here, the films to come here, when they had them over here in a funeral home. I know that years ago he come out here to the big arena back out here somewhere and had a meeting, but even then, there was a lot of criticism and a lot of ugly things said about him during that meeting out there. Why? Because it's symbolic of death. Jesus, I never sent you a prophet, but you didn't stone him to death. A wise man, I never sent you one, but what you stoned him to death. Is that right? But here we stand tonight. What is it? I thought, like Brother Taylor and I, we made that trip, coming all the way around 6,000 miles. I don't have time to go on this tonight. But going all the way from here to California and around, coming in, back down in Del Rio. And I spoke of the vision that we had there. When I said, Brother Taylor, I said, this denotes the end of the mule. Whereas Brother Branham came up in the veil, it was Christ in the Trinitarian veil, and this has to do with the end of it. I want you to listen to this just a minute. God came down, and out of that, there came up a voice of healing tree. Is that right? Some of you have heard some of this. You understand fragments of it. But some of you have never heard it. But God, who is a spirit, started to move through a man called William Branham, came up in a voice of healing tree, and the limbs of Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and David Terrell and W.B. Grant and Billy Graham and all the others went around the world. And people began to eat of the fruits of that tree. Is that right? Because the voice of healing sprang forth from his ministry. Where did it found itself? They finally wound up at Golgotha. Is that right? They finally got a church built at Golgotha. I remember when Brother Branham was giving them stones that come from the hill of Golgotha. I made the statement then that had to do with his death. Is that right? Going to death, just like you handcuff a man unto death. Is that right? Had to do with his death, and shortly after that, he went out. Why? Because it had to do with something outstanding. But did you know that God showed me in this hour, in connection with the vision that I received in Hialeah, Florida, that I was going to receive something too. And I received a little Bible that was brought from the tomb of Jesus. Right out of the tomb it came with its little wooden cover. And it came to me. And when the man brought it, he brought it with prophecy, just like they brought that to Brother Branham. Brought it to prophecy. And the Lord said, as the stones came from Golgotha, Brother Branham, being typical of Jesus, going into his death, so does this come And the scripture, I wish I could remember what it was that was open in the tomb that was read to me. But it said, so has this come from the tomb to denote the Christ and the resurrection of that which gone down. And I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore that the canker worm has eaten, the ears that the locust got, all that the caterpillars consume. I will restore, saith the Lord. And it was brought to me. How beautiful, how wonderful it was to see what God was doing. Here it came to me. It went through a great move, a great sequence. And I made the statement. I said, now just watch. I said, there will be a meeting over in a place called Utica Pike. I said, I'm not going to make any moves toward it. I'm not going to make any plans toward it. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't know that there is a Utica Pike. I've never seen it. I've never looked at it on the map that I ever know of. But I said, according to what I understand, there's a Utica Pike, and there will be a meeting, and I will be at it. I said, just watch and see, because that's what the revelation shows. Some of you here know that I made that statement. It wasn't long, though I made no move toward it, till a brother, J.T. Parnell, that some of you are acquainted with, because Brother Branham speaks of him in the books and on the tapes. As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, he was at my place over here, just come down from Kentucky over there. They're building a place over in Kentucky. It's coming up there, kind of like a memorial of Brother Branham. It's a church there, his birthplace. I spoke of what it had to do with it this particular time. It's connected with a tent and a whole lot of other things that we can't go in tonight. But anyway, here we went to this particular place. I want you to listen now. Some of you understand some of this, so listen real close, and I won't take long. Here, Brother Branham had for the first time seen the pillar of fire appear to him at Utica Pike. And Brother Branham had went out in the Ohio River and had baptized in the Ohio River, and a light had come down. And a voice had spoke to him and said, you'll be a forerunner, as John was. Speaking of the coming of that man-child, is that right? How many believe God's got a man-child to come? Sure, he's coming. I just wish I had time to go into it tonight and prove it to you. But he's coming. So then, as it was, Brother Branham being the forerunner, here, closing out the church ages, sure enough, here I went to Utica Pike. Brother J.T. said, Brother Pike, will you come and run me a meeting? He had several churches. I went over to Lafayette, Indiana. We had a great meeting. I went up to Ohio. We had a great meeting. And then Brother J.T. said, you know what? I don't know, but tonight I just feel like we ought to have a meeting at a place called Utica Pike, and I believe that I can set it up. And there it was, right perfectly in line with what God had told me. And there we went down to Utica Pike. We had the meeting, and God gave us such an attendance that the man that had the place went and got the newspapers to take pictures and said, I've never had a crowd of people like this. And God began to move, and the Spirit of God came down. And during this time, to show you how God confirms things, during the Spirit of time, my wife lost her purse. You know, foolish and amazed things. I told you I'm a fool for Christ. So then, yes, she lost the purse. And the place that she lost it was at a Texaco station. Until that time, I never knew what the word Texaco meant. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, the word Texaco means a company from Texas. A Texas company. And they cut it short and put it together, and they call it Texaco. I didn't have enough understanding to know just what it meant. So then, he said, this has to do with Texas. And said, your wife lost the purse here to show that that which was concerning Brother Branham was lost. You say, how could that be with your wife? Well, let's wait and see. So then it was lost. There, Brother Branham went down in Texas. You understand what I'm saying? It was lost because the sun goes down in the west. And when the woman moved, the Trinitarian moved, the move of the voice of healing, when all of it was over, and Rebecca had crossed the desert and got to Isaac, though she was still in the veil, yet it was time for the unveiling. Is that right? Coming in the evening time, she came right on time and found Isaac walking out there. He was looking for Rebekah. I believe that the same Jesus that walked through the garden in the evening time of life saying, Adam, where art thou? I believe that same Jesus tonight is walking in here and he's looking for that same Adam tonight.
Amen.
Amen. This time he's looking for the second man, Adam.
Hallelujah.
So then, here it was. I saw my wife, she lost the purse. All of a sudden, here come Billy Paul. And Billy Paul said, Brother Pike, I've got one of your brochures in yonder on my desk. And he wanted me to ride down to the spoken word with him. So I went down to the spoken word. We rode down there.
And when we got out and started to look around, all of a sudden, here come the law. And it had been reported that we lost the purse. I want you to see this. Here come the law. A black man and a white man. Remember, the black man represents Moses and represents God, the life, the light in the veil. Because a Jew is always God's clock in the night or in the darkness. And the white man represents the spiritual Jew, which is God's light that's always in the daytime. Is that right?
Amen.
And so then here come a black man and here come a white man, both of them law. But the black man was the one that confirmed the laws. He talked to my wife and took everything down. And all of a sudden, God spoke to Betty, and Betty got excited. And she said, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. And I said, what's going to happen, Betty? She said, the purse that I lost over that Texaco station that was confirmed to the spoken word as a loss will show up out yonder at Utica Pike. Because she remembered that a lady had made a statement, and the lady had said that I saw 2 years ago something that was lost concerning Brother Brown. So a voice said to me, something has been lost concerning William Branham, and it will be found at Utica Pike. She said, I had completely forgotten the vision, and said all of a sudden, two years later, said all of a sudden, said when you came to this place, said the vision came forcibly back to me and said, this is that I told you that was lost, this now is found. And sure enough, Betty's purse showed up at Utica Pike, and to top it all off, it was a little widow that was over at Spring Street where Brother Branham was preaching, baptizing with the light, showed to him there, and the voice spoke to him. It was from that same place that the little widow found it and brought it back out there to Utica Pike. Somebody would say, well, that's a strange coincidence. I got some even more strange than that. You just got a few more minutes to listen. So then, here it was. I wound up baptizing in the very same place that Brother Brown was in. And though I didn't see a light, they declared that a light came down out of heaven while I was baptizing, came through the cloud and made a J like that. And somebody said some of them got a picture. There was quite a few people on the bank. It was extremely cold. But baptizing in the very same place in the Ohio River, and God willing to confirm what he was doing, he let the excitement arise. Now then, knowing that God had placed Brother Branham as Jesus in the earth, at Calvary, differentiating between the Jews and between the spiritual Jew, that is the Gentile, and differentiating between the Jesus and the Christ. Now, you understand what I'm saying? There is a difference between the Lord and the Christ. You understand? For the veil was rent in twain. That means two. How many know that?
Amen.
For Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus made in himself two, twain, both Lord and Christ. Is that Bible?
Amen.
But at Calvary, God rent the veil, separated Christ from the Jesus, to show that the old, which was the first man Adam, was folded up, laid away, and it was gone in rejecting the Jews, since he was the head of the scapegoat, which was the Jews. But out of the grave come the Christ, and though the Jesus went to the right hand of the Father to be the blood atonement, sitting there until he come back in Revelation 19, could be seen no more, here come the Christ up out of the grave, went into the human body, and personified himself in us. For Jesus said, I go away, but I'll come again.
Amen.
The world won't see me, but he said, you shall see.
Amen.
I read to you tonight from how that they walked over to Bethany, they were parted asunder, and the head went away.
Yeah.
And then he said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. How many of you know that the Holy Ghost is the power from on high?
Amen.
Some people say, I got the Holy Ghost. You haven't got the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Right there, brother.
My brother, if you had the Holy Ghost, you'd talk straight, you'd walk straight, Amen. You'd do what was right, you'd love your neighbor, and you'd be in a vision and in a word for Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Speak in tongues? No.
Right.
Somebody said, prophesy? No. They done both that in 19th chapter of Acts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That wasn't it. But when the Spirit of the Word comes back in you, he'll testify to the Word. For how could my nature testify of anything but me? How could the Spirit of the Word testify to anything but Jesus? Because if it's the Spirit of the Word, it will testify to the Word. and said, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, comes to you, he will testify of me.
Amen.
That don't mean you'll just say, hallelujah, I love the Lord. But it means that in deed, in word, in everything that you do, your deeds will testify to the word.
Amen.
To the word. Every day you'll conform to the image. Is that right?
Amen.
Give me this a little bit longer.
Amen. Come on, brother.
So then, here was Brother Branham. Numbered with the Trinitarian veil. Is that right? Being a Baptist preacher.
Right.
There he was. But then time came to rend the veil, the separation of the Lord and the Christ. And so then Brother Branham was smitten. I saw his death, the early part of 65. I said he'll come out of the desert around the year 66 and his ministry will be finished and the Pope of Rome will come to the United States. And I said the United States will go Catholic. Is that right? Because the Bible said they received the number in their head from the beast. Is that right? And so then when they came over here, how many of you know that Johnson bowed down before the Pope, done obeisance to the Pope, turned out the schools, and he stood up and said, we now have a Pope. Is that right? Stood over in New York and pleaded through the means of the UN with China to come in. I wish we had time to preach tonight. I'm going to say this a little bit more here. Just hold on. I'm going to try to close out. But notice this one thing. I made the statement. I said, Pope Paul VI, in the year of 66, making 666, will come to the United States, and the United States will go Catholic. I said, because it's what I understand, I said when Kennedy came into office, it was the end of the Protestant age, and capitalism was over, and all that we ever known as the heritage of our fathers in establishing America was gone. I did not know at that time that Brother Branham had made the statement that in the year of about 56, that God showed him that America had got a last revival. I didn't know that. I said what I understand because I had seen a vision. And I also had noticed in the paper the white and the black horses. I don't remember that. Pulling the carriage. You probably don't remember. But anyway, life, Protestant life, the Reformation of Martin Luther, had gone out. Don't you get this. When America began to be set up as a government, just prior to that, Martin Luther came on the scene, a white man. Is that right? When God had completely finished the age, Martin Luther came on the scene, the black man. Is that right? Because from light to darkness, God had showed a beginning and an end, didn't he, Brother Ray? It was over and went out into darkness. Is that right? So then, God, the beginning and the end, God who works all things after the counsel of his own will, God brought the Pope to America. And what happened? That relay of darkness. How many remember that? Darkness hit New York and it swept over the country, the different parts, and they're just going into a frenzy because of the darkness sweeping everywhere. They couldn't understand it. Is that right? What was it? God showed that God's darkness would cover the people. You understand what I'm saying? But he said in the evening time, it would also come to pass that there would be light. Not for the people. For he said, gross darkness would come to people.
Right.
But for the church there would be light.
Amen.
For I laid that in that darkness in the vision. And then all of a sudden I stood up and I was in the marvelous light of God.
Amen.
I was standing there. I said, what is it, Lord? And he said, the church has been receiving this through the veil. Brother Branham in the veil. His followers did not get the message. Now, you say, how can you prove it? Because the mind of God shows that they didn't. They got the books.
Right.
Did the people get Moses' message? No, they never got Moses' message.
Right.
They got Moses' books.
Amen.
And they made the law of the letter and said, if you don't do Malachi so-and-so, then you can't be part of this. Is that right?
Right.
Little old spiritual babies that never got off the spiritual branch. They turned around and wouldn't even let them come in there, and they didn't know what a Malachi was.
Right.
They made a test of fellowship just like they did, the Pentecostal did, with speaking in tongues. That's why Brother Brown made the statement that 3 years after my decease, he'll turn into a denomination.
Right.
He done it too, didn't he?
Amen.
God blessed them just like he did the rest of them, too.
Thank you,
hallelujah. I feel like shouting.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is real.
Amen.
What was it? God said, William Branham, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And he said, William Branham, would you like to see beyond the veil? I took Moses up on the mountain and I showed him beyond the veil. You won't get into heaven, but wouldn't you like to see it? Brother Branham said it would do me so much good. And he took him up there, and Brother Branham looked over into the Canaan land of God. He said he saw the women in the long dresses. Isn't that right? Is that right? And he said, where's Jesus? He said, he's in another dimension. Hallelujah. You come a long way, Brother Branham. But there's a long ways to go. Hallelujah. I still feel like shouting. Praise God. If I had Brother Marlowe, he'd be shouting. Hallelujah. So then, I'm going to stop in just a few minutes. So then, here we are in a little place called Macon, Georgia. And God is doing something. What is it? The lost and the found. The church in darkness. But when the Christ came up, it was a world of light. It was a world of light. And my brother and sister, at this point, the reason that God showed me this little birthstone is because it has to do with the birth of the church. That's why I got that red Bible. It's from Jimmy Kerr. His name means church. And I found the capstone message saying in there that come from the Holiday Inn that had to do with the Feast of the Trumpets, which goes back to the Jews. That's what they call it. And so then here we are, right here. What is it? I'm heading right down to Florida. As I move, I had already predicted that this would happen. There's so many things I could say concerning the fountain and different things. But I was to go down to Florida. I made the statement. Oh, I just wish I could feel into things here. But I made the statement. It's hard to preach when you got so much to preach. When I first started, you know, I thought, God, I'd never find anything to preach. I'd stand up and I'd say, No one of these preachers said that. He said, that's the way I used to do. I tell you what, I had more time ahead of what to say. Now I got more to say than I have time. So, anyway, here it was. And I thought, now Lord, what are you trying to show me? All of a sudden, here I am, I'm going down to Florida. My brother Denny, and I don't have time to go into explain what he shows in here, it's a black man. My brother Charles Denny went down to Hialeah, Florida. Took a tent also that has to do with this. It'd take a long time to go into it. Amen. But he took a tent there, and he was going to have a meeting, but he couldn't have a meeting. And yet, it had to do with what we're doing. Amen. So then, just as this move starts, Brother Denny calls up and said, I'm going to set that tent in Hialeah, Florida for you to have a meeting. And I already spoke of what he had to do with it. That's true. Amen. Why? Because when the life concerning Eli had gone out, God raised up a Samuel. Yeah. And Brother Charles Denny went down to the same place that I had revived or had the vision. And there his wife gave birth to a little boy and he called him Samuel. Right down there. And you know what? I dedicated him over yonder, over in the era, suburban areas of Memphis, Tennessee, a little place called Olive Branch, Mississippi. I said a revival would come here and have to do with the Jews. The black man went there and had, and God gave us a meeting, and I dedicated the little boy right there. Now then, here we go back down there. What is it? The light went out. Darkness came. They turned the Word of God into an intellectual letter and began to quote paragraphs and began to say this and that and kill out the people and stop the moving of the Spirit. God doesn't want a bunch of dead folks. God wants somebody to say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And everything that has breath, praise God. That's my love. Brother Taylor, he likes to praise God. Brother Ed, that's it. Hallelujah. I am going to stop. Just hold on just a minute. So then, here we were. Now, I'm on my way down there. Going down there. Now, what does this have to do with the trip, the 6,000-mile trip that I made that I can't go into? I don't have enough time. Where the big tent that I gave Brother Delma. How many remember that great, big, huge gospel tent? About a $10,000 tent that we gave Brother Delma. That big tent that he's been setting around across the nation. I sat down here at Dale Real, Texas. That big tent. Set down there at Dale Real, Texas. And Brother Taylor, you know how that you went there and you remember. As we sat, I had the vision where I looked up into heaven. I said, after this trip, Brother Taylor, I said it will have to do with the closing out of the Brother Branham age, which was the Elijah age, which was in the veil, and it'll have to do with the coming of the same spirit in the move of Elisha, which is the Jew and the double portion. Is that right? How many know that the Gentile is sanctified on the inside, translated into the kingdom of God on the inside, but how many know that on the outside we wait for the redemption of our body? How many know that? But how many of you know that the Jew will also be sealed in the outer man as well as the inner? Because Elisha got a double portion, is that right? We fight spiritually, but when they come, they'll fight with natural swords too. So then, as we got to Del Rio, here I had a vision. We had completed the cycle. I saw the tornadoes coming. I spoke of judgment hitting the earth. When we come back, I said judgment will strike the earth. It started striking, and multitudes of tornadoes were seen at one time. They swept all over the nation and tore things to pieces. And it's been hitting ever since. Plagues and epidemics. And everything's been hitting since that time. It has really shook things up. Now, so then, here I had a vision. And in the vision I looked, and here were some great horses moving through the air. There sat five, looked like five to seven great men, astride big burly horses and moving, stern appearance, perseverance, determination. And I looked up and I thought, Lord, what is this? And I had the feeling I was up there and yet I was down here. And I thought, Lord, what is this? And all of a sudden, here comes the spirit of Elijah, and it came down on me, and I cried out and said, my father, my father, and the horsemen thereof. Elisha cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And there came the spirit of Elijah back. And the following a day or two, here we sit out here on this certain place. And Brother Taylor said, Linda said, find that place. Linda looked through the Bible. As she looked through the Bible to find this place, all of a sudden she began to read right out of heaven, came down a whirly bird in a big cloud of dust and sat down right there where we was, right in the middle of us. Is that right, Brother Taylor?
Glory.
Now, I told him how it had to do with this. And Brother Delmer went and sat on the same spot, not knowing, and went in the very direction, made the change over, wrote me the letter, and everything was just perfect. And I said, Brother Taylor, it has to do with this, what we're doing right now. And Brother Taylor come down here, went over to the Ambassador Hotel last night, and when he walked in there with the Bible, opened the kings, saying, my father, and the horseman there. Brother Taylor, he about had a fit from what I found out. God willing. Oh, to confirm.
Amen.
Ain't you glad you're fooled for Christ?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is it? It's the resurrection of the church. The move of God's on. Now's the opportunity. If you ever want to do something for God, now's your chance to do it. The Holy Ghost is moving. I feel it. I know it's moving. Hallelujah. I sat over there tonight. I walked in and I thought, things ain't moving too much, but I know you're going to be here. And about that time, I looked and saw the pillar of fire move over in this corner, about almost as big as that light bulb, and everything began to brighten up, and a quickening came through. And somebody began to shout and praise God. And I felt something awakening. Move. What was it? It's God. It's God. God shed a great light that shined around Paul over there. When he spoke to Paul, he fell down in the great light, spoke to him and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against a priest.
Amen.
Something is happening, my brother. I saw the angel of God here tonight. And the Lord is here, a little place, a dead place.
Right.
God's bringing a resurrection.
Right.
God's got a birthplace, hallelujah. That's
Amen.
Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
That's Jerusalem. If Jesus died in Jerusalem, he's got to come up in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what. There is something that's in the wind. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight. The voice said to me, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away, and this is God's new business. All of the lights were to go out. Listen carefully. I'm closing. All of the lights were to go out. I said by 1970, they'd be well on their way out. I said the great church lights like Brother Branham, the great men like Brother Osborne and Brother Roberts and Brother Allen, they'll go out. And I said, Brother David Terrell will be left to breach it over. I said, because he's neither Trinity nor Jesus' name. I said, he's caught in between.
Amen.
And I said, he'll pick it up over from A.A. Allen then when it goes out. I said, he'll pick it up in a Trinitarian stages and move it over to the Jesus' name stages and be a bridge. How many of you know that only one religious program got it to the moon, and that was the Pope's? Nobody else. But he sent one up there. He sent one up there, and it magnified himself. It magnified himself. See, she had her foot on the moon. What happened at that time? There was a man child born. Who was it? He was ruled the nations with a rod of iron. Everybody knows that the Pope ruled with a rod of iron back over in the Dark Ages.
That's right.
How many of you know that going back into the Dark Ages, tribulation?
That's right.
And the Pope of Rome or the Antichrist will come on the scene again. Is that right?
Exactly right.
Oh, there's so much I want to say tonight concerning the government and making different things. I don't really have time to say it. But listen, this is the close of it. This is the close of it. Brother Terrell is drawing his people in now. They've seen the sign and the stars of the 7 years coming in. Everything's moving in now. Everything for the last dimensional type of this apostate age. Everything's moving in. And in that hour, there was only one star shining. All the other lights went out. There was one thing left. That was the day star that he said would dawn in your heart, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't see that. I'll tell you what. Talk to any great Bible scholar. Talk to the doctors of divinity. They'll tell you right quick that the last thing that's to come on the scene is the revelation of Jesus Christ. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you also that that's the coming of the Lord. Because when Paul stood, Paul said it pleased God that he should reveal his son in me. Is that right? The coming of the Lord in Paul. But he said, I'm born out of season. Is that right? But there'll come a time when you'll see it. Is that right? It pleased God. What is it? For the Bible said he, Jesus Christ, shall suddenly appear where? In his temple. To be glorified in his saints. And all the world shall come and worship before him. And I will make them to kneel at your feet and know that you're my membership, that I love you. Is that right? Somebody said, ain't you afraid you're taking God's glory? He said, my glory I won't give to another. But I'm glad we're not another. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with you before the world ever was. Isn't that wonderful? Can't be above you, Master, but it want to be perfect, so be at you. I still build a chapel. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful day. I said that I'd pray for the sick tonight, and I want to pray for the sick tonight. God has been good to us, and I believe he'll still be good to us. I've been praying for you today. I've been praying for the service. I've been praying that God would heal you. If you're sick tonight, I've been praying that God would heal you, and I believe that he will heal you. Amen. The Bible said, if effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is that right? Amen. I believe. I believe that you believe. And I believe that if any two of us can agree in faith, it's touching anything, God will do it. Amen. There's men here tonight that believe God, that's had great testimonies of healing in their life. While Sister Dale plays on the accordion, wish they had just a little more of that water. I'd like for her to play just a little chorus here.
So long.
I drink water. I'm so grateful that a man by the name of Jesus was willing to wade through the chambers of the fire and go down into the bellies of hell that I might not have to go there. I'm glad, Brother Red, that he was willing. He was willing to go there so I wouldn't have to go. The rich man begged for just one drop of water. That's all he wanted. Just one drop of water. Folks, I saw a vision not too long ago. It just about scared the wits out of me. For a number of days, I wouldn't tell my wife for a number of weeks or months. I wouldn't tell my wife, I wouldn't tell nobody because it scared me. And I'm going to be honest with you, it still scared me. The things I saw, I still ain't mentioned some of them. But the things I saw, it still scared me when I talk about it. But I looked, and there was a great multitude of people waiting to be ministered to. And all of a sudden, I saw that great multitude fade away into nothing. I saw the earth turn into powder. And I saw everything become exceedingly dry. As I saw it, something swept over me and said, there's no need to write a book. There's no need to try to preach a sermon. Said, it's over. It's gone. And suddenly, I become aware of the fact that the Spirit of God had lifted from the earth, and there we stood. And you can't imagine what a horrible feeling went through me and what a horrible feeling swept over me as I suddenly realized that it was over and that it was gone. Folks, we're living in a critical time. All of you are men of intelligence. You're great men of intelligence. You know that I'm telling you the truth. This is not something new. You know it's the truth. Bible said, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Bible said, all of them that are of God are of good understanding. You'll know when it's not at hand, even at the door. We know. We're children of the kingdom. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. We know. We got the revelation. We understand. I want you tonight, while they're playing, not here to make a show, but to pray earnestly for you, one for another, that God will help you. God will heal you. God will strengthen you. God will raise you up, and God will do something for you. That's what we want to do. And I want you to come on tonight. If you will, let's everybody gather just around here. Back home at the church, so often I say come in the whole church. Just gather around while we talk about Jesus. It's late, folks. It's a lot later
than even I thought. I sat here last night. I had a vision and I said, Lord, it's growing late. And I looked in the vision and I saw something happening. And something said to me, said, Brother Pike, it's later than you think it is. And I looked and here come the wrath of God sweeping in. And it was only a few feet away, Brother Red. And I said, my God, I said, it's close, Lord. But I thought, I said, I'll have to run for my life even if I get out of the way of it. That's how close it was. So don't wait. Don't wait. If you need to renew your covenant with God, come and renew your covenant, folks. If you slipped a little bit, don't let it overthrow you. My wife told me something one time that really warmed my heart. Betty said, you know, said, there's one thing that really thrills my soul. I said, what is that, Betty? She said, as Jesus started up the hill of Golgotha, as he started up to meet the awful fate that he was to meet, said he stumbled beneath the load and he fell down on the way to the cross, but said he got back up. He didn't stay there. He got back up. And she said, that gives me courage. Though we fall down, if the Master did it, we fall in his step, we can get up again and we can try all over again. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to try again. To try again for Jesus. It's a privilege to be here tonight. The last night that I'll get to be here with you. But it's a privilege to come back through here and have a few words that Christ has shared with me to say to you, hoping that you'll rally. And if I don't meet you here, whereas I may be back through here, you never can tell. But if I don't, that if we don't meet here, then we can meet over there. Meet over there. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That we can meet over there. What a wonderful thought. Let's sing the little song, Amazing Grace. Can we?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Sing it again, will you? When we've been back 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we to see God's praise than when we first begun.
If you love him, just keep your hands up for a few minutes now. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. See where your believing is anchored tonight. Is it anchored in the word tonight? Are you in the faith tonight that can translate you? For by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And tonight, we're living in the day of the revealing of the Son of Man coming in the heavenly clouds of his own glory, in his great clouds of witnessing appearing that the world might see him to be glorified in his saints. Coming, God, the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the revelation, he himself coming in your heart and in my heart. Paul said, Christ revealed in us the hope of glory, the mystery of God in you and I. Revealed in us to change these vile, wretched bodies into the likeness of his own great image and his eternal spirit. Redeeming us from the corruptible bodies that we have here. While we're standing here tonight, praising the Lord and believing on the Lord Jesus. If you're sick in body tonight, I want to pray for you. I want you to step up here, and I'm going to pray. And I believe that God will heal you when I pray. I believe that. If I didn't believe God would heal you tonight, I wouldn't make an effort to pray for you. But I believe he will. Hallelujah. Here's a brother here that believes in praying for the sick. He's had great things to happen according to what I understand his ministry. And he's standing here tonight wanting me to pray for him. And I want us to pray with Brother Cantrell tonight. While he exercises his faith, not only for himself, but for you tonight, I want us to pray together. While Brother Red and these other men around here, believe with me tonight. I want you to believe. Let's pray tonight, folks. The prayer of faith can save the sick tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I feel the divine anointing of the Son of God tonight. Lord, as this great man of God stands here before me, in the name of Jesus right now, I feel his faith, God. I pray that you'd heal him, Father. Lord, every break tonight, everything, God, be taken away tonight. Every yoke be broken. Father, every bondage be moved. Father, I plead the blood over him tonight. Father, cover him with the blood tonight. Oh, God, that when Satan comes his way, Father, Lord, that he won't have a chance. Lord, we bind the powers of darkness tonight in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus, tonight. Father, and speak healing and deliverance to this body for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. If you love him, say amen tonight. If you want me to pray for you tonight, I'll pray for you. I feel God doing something. I feel faith in this place tonight. I feel God here tonight. Hallelujah. And say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fathers, I pray for my brother tonight. Feeling the great power of God here tonight. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Father, heal the spot. Oh, God, I feel your spirit here tonight. I feel your touch tonight, God. I feel the yoke being broken. In the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus. Heal tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. All we've got to do is believe tonight. I believe. Hallelujah. Heal tonight, Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, heal tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you want me to pray, God, pray for you tonight. I believe God will heal you. I believe God will do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as we pray for Bucky, God, he's been seen in a vision being healed. God, there's nothing too hard for you. I want you to elevate his faith tonight, God. I want you to heal him tonight in the name of Jesus tonight. I want you to fix it, Lord, where he'll never have to use these crutches. God, that he can be healed. Oh, God, do tonight for him what I saw you do. Lord, when I reached down in the wheelchair and got a hold of the woman and she stepped up and began to praise God, I pray that you heal him tonight. Lord, make him to rejoice in thee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You love him, say amen. Hallelujah. God, to heal tonight. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. Hallelujah. If you believe tonight, God will heal you. Father, tonight, as I pray for Brother Bill, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal Brother Bill. Father, I feel your spirit tonight. I know this is not by power, it's not by might, but it's by your spirit, and I felt the spirit break the yoke tonight, and I know that you're here, Jesus. I want you to heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, heal. In the lovely name of Jesus. Have your way tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to have the privilege of prayer tonight. Hallelujah. I'd love to see old Brother Brandon standing here tonight. They tell me that in his young days when the power of God hit him and he run the church, climbed up on the sacred desk and shouted out and run like a lamb, like a young lion, roaring, praising God. What a wonderful thing. I'd love to see that same Pentecostal move, that same old-time Holy Ghost revival. Praise God. Break out amongst the people. You love the Lord. Praise God. Let me tell you something tonight. There's a man here tonight, if he get rid of the habit he's got, he wouldn't be having the trouble he's got. I say, if he get rid of it, if he quit smoking and get rid of it, he'd be all right. But as long as he smokes and tries to go on with God, all he's going to do is have a hard time. That's all. Thing to do is get rid of it. God loves you and God wants to help you. But you got to do it God's way. I'm not trying to embarrass you. If I don't want to do that, then I just told you. I just went out right and I told you, you know. But I'm just telling you so that you know. God's good, isn't he? All you got to do is walk in the light. Let's sing that little chorus. We sang, walk in the light. What a wonderful thought that we can walk in the light because God is good. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God's good? I remember we had a woman to come to the church not too long ago. She come in, and she was supposed to be a woman preacher. And she came into the church, and there as she come in, everything seemed to be well with her. But I said, Betty, I said, that woman's dipping snuff. I said, she needs to get rid of her snuff. And I walked over to where she was, and before I could tell her, she started confessing. You know, folks know when God gets near. They know. I feel good, don't you? Hallelujah. What a day that will be when our Savior we shall see. When we look upon His face, the one who saved us by His grace. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little song, We'll Walk in the Light. Give me another kiss. We'll walk in the light, in the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. It is Jesus, the light of the world. Sing it again. We'll walk in the light, in the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day.